The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Healing Word Program is a ministry of the Largo Community Church, where Christ is honored and people are loved. You're invited to join us in worship via live streaming this Sunday morning at either 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock. Visit largocc.org and click on Watch Live.
Things happen to God's people that are not always good things, but it's how we respond. You are going to respond. It's how you respond when these things come.
Welcome to The Healing Word, a radio ministry of the Largo Community Church. Here's Pastor Jack Morris with today's message that will grow your faith in God and lead you to a closer walk with Jesus.
You have an outline in your bulletin and also on the screen. I'm going to talk about responding to the blessings of God. God has so wonderfully blessed all of us. We are blessed beyond measure. We truly are. And there's a response now that God is expecting, and he should expect a response from us, right? Like the little boy Jimmy, he said, "My name is Jimmy. I sit in the floor and I take all you gimme." Like the one little boy I've mentioned several times in the sermons I preached here, his mother gave him an apple and he started for the door, and his mother said, "Now, wait a minute, son, what are you supposed to say?" And he looked at his apple and he handed it back and he said, "Peel it for me." So, I mean, we know how to take. We are takers, but we are also praisers and worshipers. And so let us worship the Lord and remember that he's the source of all that we have. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. Every gift comes down from the Father above, the Father of lights. He is our Savior and our God, and he has called us to bless us. I want to use Abraham today as the example of our faith and how he responded to the blessings of the Lord. Every believer is a child of Abraham. Every believer can look to Abraham and give God praise, because Abraham is the father of all who believe. This is what the scripture says in Galatians 3:7. Those who believe are children of Abraham. Not only are the Jews children of Abraham, but those who have received the gift of the new birth and has been grafted into the family of God through the miracle of the new birth, we are children of Abraham. Abraham was the very first person in the Bible, in all of history, to believe on God and to see the blessing of the Lord through Jesus Christ from afar. He did not do anything to deserve salvation. He did not do anything to earn salvation. He simply, in his mind, believed. In his heart, he believed, and he was brought into the kingdom of God. That's how you and I are brought into the kingdom of God. We don't earn our salvation. We do nothing to deserve our salvation. We simply hear the word and believe it. The word that we're hearing today, if we'll take it into our heart and believe it, we will be saved, and we will be abundantly graced by God's loving kindness. The scripture says that Abraham appropriated the gift of salvation by faith. That's exactly how you received Jesus, by faith. You came to this altar, or you sat there in your pew and you heard the word of God and you believed that God was speaking to you and God was offering Jesus to you, and you just opened your heart, believed, and received. Abraham was the very first person to receive the gift of salvation in that manner. Now the scripture says, Jesus says in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it when was glad." Now it's a thought. It comes into our mind, the word of God. And the scripture says Abraham
looked ahead. Abraham was thousands of years ago, but he looked ahead thousands of years to the coming of Jesus. He didn't know his name would be Jesus. He never saw Jesus with his natural eye, but somehow he intuited in his heart that a Savior was coming, a Messiah was coming, someone who would take the sins of the human race, and that it was our part to believe and to receive. I don't know how he did it, but he did it very much like we do it. I don't know how we do it, but it's a gift of God. And Abraham looked ahead. He believed that a Messiah was coming. He believed that that Messiah would take the sins of the world and his own sins. He just simply believed, and he said, he's coming. I know he's coming. I can't prove it. It's not written. I don't have a book like you and I have the Bible. But in my heart, in his heart, Abraham believed, and he was made right with God, made a righteous person. That's how you and I have received Jesus and have come into the kingdom of God. So now we're going to follow this today and follow Abraham, because our life and Abraham's life and experience in God parallels each other. We can see ourselves by following Abraham. Abraham was the first one to do what you and I did when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing is that God calls us by the power of the Holy Spirit. He calls us away from our sins. He calls us away from the world, from hurt. He calls us from disappointment. He calls us to follow him. He calls us into a healing relationship with him. He wants to bless us. He calls us to bless us, not because we deserve to be blessed, but he wants to do this. He cares for us. He loves us. And the greatest of all blessings, the first blessing, is the blessing of redemption, of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved. So we hear the word of God. The word of God comes into our heart. It comes into our mind. It provokes our thinking. And we begin to think, yes, I need help. I'm not happy in this world. I'm not satisfied. I believe there's a life to come. All of these thoughts begin to go through our mind, and it's the word of God that jabs us and pricks us and causes these thoughts to start happening. It's the word of God. And then it takes us further. It causes us to think of the one who took our sins to make our life better and to give us life to come. All of these thoughts are going on in our mind because the word of God has pricked our thoughts. And then we come to that place where we believe, where we ask Jesus to come, and he does come, our sins are forgiven, and we are received into the kingdom of God, the most blessed of all gifts. Abraham was the very first one to do that. The scripture says in Joshua chapter 24 that Abraham was an idol worshiper. He worshiped idols. He was from the city of Ur of Chaldees. It's a city that worshiped the moon god, Nanor. Abraham's parents were idol worshipers. And somehow God singled out this man, Abraham, just like he somehow singled you out to save you, to put his life, the life of his son, within you. He singled Abraham out. The scripture says in Acts chapter 7, verse 2, that the God of glory appeared to him. Now, he didn't have a Bible to read, and he didn't have a preacher to teach him. He didn't have somebody to tell him what you are being told today. But it says the God of glory appeared to him. I read that. I'm going to talk more about that next week. I was so moved by that. I thought, how did you appear to him, Father? He was worshiping idols, dead idols, idols that were deaf and dumb, idols that couldn't speak, idols that couldn't hear, idols that couldn't respond, and he worshiped and bowed down and devoted to those idols. Now, not only did the people worship the moon god, but they carved out images that represented the moon god. Idols, as I said, with mouths that couldn't speak, ears that couldn't hear, and now the God of glory, the God that is alive, the God of creation, appeared to Abraham. How does God's glory appear to us? How does it come to us? The same, now our lives are paralleling Abraham's life.
The God of glory that appeared to Abraham has also appeared to us. Now, how does God's glory come about? It always comes about through the Word. The Word. All of a sudden, here's this dumb wooden idol, and Abraham's bowing down to it, worshiping it, that speaks to him of the moon god, and that piece of wood didn't talk, that piece of wood didn't hear, that piece of wood couldn't have compassion, and all of a sudden, the God of glory, he hears something. And it's the Word of God. It's God speaking. The Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word. And here comes the God of glory in the form and presence of Jesus. He appears to us through the Word. And Abraham heard. He heard like he had never heard before because his gods weren't speaking. But the God of glory began to speak to him. And friend, I believe the God of glory is going to speak to you and me this morning. I wouldn't have come here if I did not believe that the God of glory would not appear and make himself known to us. Those of us who are in a hurtful place, those of us who are in a difficult situation, those of us who are in need, the God of glory is going to appear. I know he's appearing now because the Word of God is coming forth now. And you're hearing it. And you're being blessed by it. And you're going to continue to be blessed by it in a wonderful, supernatural way, just as our father Abraham. Abraham heard, and he believed what he heard. Do you believe what you're hearing today? Yes. Listen with your heart, because God's going to speak to you. We prayed just a moment ago, God, there's a portion that I need to hear. And God knows what that portion is, and he's going to give it to you. Don't miss it. Be alert. Be on tiptoe, alertness, listening, because the Word of God is going to come. And when the Word of God comes, the God of glory comes. The God of majesty comes. The God of healing, the God of salvation comes. You and I have a greater revelation than Abraham because we now know his name is Jesus. The Word's name is Jesus. And Jesus came. Jesus is appearing, and he continues to appear. Now, God blesses us, not only through the Word. When the Word comes, what is happening is he's positioning us now. He's putting us in a certain place where he now can do great things. He can't do great things to us until we're saved, until we're in the body, until we are grafted in, until we become children. Now we are his children, and we now become heirs. God is happy. God is delighted. Now God can do something for us because we're in his family and we're his children. We heard the Word, we believed the Word came to us through the power of the Holy Spirit, we opened our heart, and we received. Same with Abraham. Now, God made a covenant with Abraham. A covenant in the Hebrew language has several meanings. It means fellowship and agreement. It means binding and commitment. It means sharing. Now, that covenant that God made with Abraham extends to us today. That covenant is a covenant that you and I can claim just like Father Abraham. That's why we're called the children of Abraham. It has come down to us. God said, I will enter into a covenant with Abraham, meaning his children also, posterity, we're his Abraham's children. And here comes the covenant. God said, I will fellowship and agree. God's saying, I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to agree to enter into a binding commitment with you. I'm going to share with you the glories and majesties of heaven with you. You are now my children. You have been placed into the body of the Lord. You have believed what you have heard. Now I have an opportunity to do something glorious and wonderful for you. You are now positioned for blessing. You are now in that place. Here comes the blessing of God. Receive. Receive. Say out loud, I'm receiving today. I'm receiving the blessing of God today. Now, how are we to respond to these blessings? Well, I've already said we are to send it on to others. We, as God gives, we give. And the more we give out, the more God gives in. He is a giving God. We'll never be able to give out nothing in comparison to what God is going to give in. Now, whatever touches our lives
receives a response, whether that response is a good response or it's a bad response. But we respond to everything that's happening in our lives. For every action, there's a reaction. Now, let's look at it this way. When trials come, when testings come, we respond to those trials and those testings. How do we respond to those trials and testings? Well, some of us accept them and put them into God's hands. Some of us whine. Some of us break down. Some of us complain. Some of us say, why me? This shouldn't happen to me. I'm a child of God. And we begin to complain. But what I'm saying, get what I'm saying, it's, there's a response. There's always a response. When good comes, when evil comes. When help comes, when something bad happens. We respond in some way. Now, God is going to do something beautiful for us, but he wants something in return. He wants a response. Morris Lewis is not with us today. He's down in Florida doing a little vacationing, and I was going to have him come up. I was going to interview him because he spoke at our first Thursday night fasting and prayer service about losing a job. Now, what do you do when you lose a job? What do you do? You say, oh, me. Oh, my. How am I going to pay my bills? What's going to happen? Well, he told us, and I know Morris, he said that he went into his boss, called him in, and his boss is a Christian, and Morris asked the boss to have prayer with him. Isn't that a wonderful way to respond when something negative happens and you're not expecting it to happen? And so many things happen in our lives that we don't expect to happen. But good and evil comes. The sun shines on the good and on the evil. It rains on the good and it rains on the evil. So things happen to God's people that are not always good things. But it's how we respond. You are going to respond. It's how you respond when these things come. And Morris said he walked in there and he asked the boss to have prayer with him. And he said he prayed and he walked out of there with a smile on his face. Yet he was hurting. He was disappointed. Yet he put it into God's hands. So that's what we are to do when bad things happen to good people. When we have problems and trials and testings, they come to us all. Look at them now when they came to Abraham. He's our father. He's our model. We have an example in this man and how he responded and how we're going to respond. And I'm praying for you. I know some of you are going through some very difficult times, some very hard places. And I can hear what you're saying. And you're saying, yeah, you know, I never expected this to happen. Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. And I didn't expect it to happen to you either. And I'm sorry that it's happened to you. But there's a God who cares and a God who wants to help and a God who will help if you put it in his hands. He can turn sorrow into joy. A bad experience into a blessing. God can do it if you'll put it in his hands. Now, here's what Abraham did. The same thing happens with blessings. When a blessing comes, we are to respond to that blessing. Okay, I want you to read up at the screen for me. Read it out loud in unison. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abraham gave a tenth of everything. Now, what happened was, in the scripture, in Genesis chapter 14, Abraham's nephew, Lot, was taken captive by enemy nations. And everything that Abraham's nephew had was taken and carried off. Well, Abraham went on the attack, believing God was with him. He knew God was with him. And he overcame and he brought back his nephew and all the possessions of his nephew. God blessed him and gave him the victory. Think of your situation. Do you need a victory? Is there something you need to win over in your life? As an individual, in your family life, you need the victory. You need to win over it. Well, look what Abraham did. God was with him. He was in a battle. Things were very difficult. And he won. And when he won, he returned. Melchizedek is an example or a symbol of Jesus Christ, who is to come. Abraham was believing to the best of his ability, according to the knowledge that he had. And when he returned, he was not only received that one victory and that one blessing, but Melchizedek, a type of Christ, came out and gave him a second blessing. Blessing upon blessing. Friend, look at it for just a moment. God has been piling up blessings on you and me for years. And he continues to give blessing after blessing. Trials come in between, but the blessings of God continue to come. And when the blessing of God came upon Abraham, he returned. The blessing of God continued to come upon Abraham, and he continued to receive. And his response to his victory was that he gave back to Melchizedek, a type of Christ, a tenth of everything he had. Now, who told Abraham to do that? It was the God of glory that appeared to him and brought him into the kingdom. In his heart, he knew that God was speaking. He felt an obligation now to show God appreciation. He could not take victory after victory and blessing after blessing. Somehow, down deep, the voice of God said, "You owe a tenth back. I have blessed you." And Abraham responded, and God continued to bless Abraham until Abraham became a great nation, a wealthy person, the richest in all the land. God was with him. Abraham was in the place of blessing, and Abraham was responding to blessing in a biblical way. So God is expecting a response. He's expecting a reciprocal relationship. He wants to interact with our lives. He doesn't want to be there just pouring out and pouring out. He wants us to be pouring back and pouring back. God wants us to interact with him and be involved in his life. Now, what has God done for you? Oh, he's blessed you. You're in health. You have nice clothes. You drive nice cars. You live in a nice house. Your children are doing well. There's a lot of families where their children are not doing well. Now, we need to recognize what God has done for us and the children that he has given to us. And we need to give back to him praise and thanksgiving, even the tenth of the tithe and the material possessions that he's given to us. Friend, give unto the Lord, he will give back. He has already given you Jesus. He's given you eternal life. He's given you joy and happiness in this life. He's given you a great hope. He's given you the gift of eternity. You have won victory after victory through prayer. You're going to begin other battles in the future. There's going to be continued victory. You're going to need his intervention. You're going to need his victory. He'll be there. He'll be there. You can depend on him. Can he depend on me? That's it. Does he know what I'm going to do? I know what he's going to do. Does he know what I'm going to do? He knew what Abraham was going to do. He knew Abraham would hear and believe and obey. And so he says, "You're the man to be the king of Israel, to build this great nation. You're the man to give birth to Isaac, who would then be the one through whose lineage Christ would come. You're my man." Friend, be God's man. Be God's woman. Trust the Lord, and there will be blessing after blessing and victory after victory here in belief. Have you heard? Do you believe? Amen.
We hope that today's message has been a blessing and has strengthened your faith in God. But before we go, here is Pastor Jack Morris.
Thanks for listening to The Healing Word, coming to you from the Largo Community Church, Mitchellville, Maryland. The Largo Community Church is a Bible-believing church. You're invited to come and worship with us. Each Sunday morning, we have two great, wonderful worship services, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. I can assure you, you will hear the Word of God. We're located at 1701 Enterprise Road in Mitchellville, Maryland. That's also South Bowie. Check out our website. That's largocc.org. May the word of God you hear on this program bring healing and wholeness to your life, spiritual healing, emotional healing, physical healing. We appreciate your prayers and your financial gifts for the support of this ministry. Friend, Jesus loves you, and we love you too.
I'm Pastor Jack Morris.
Will you consider partnering with Pastor Morris today by praying for the ministry? And consider sending a gift to help us in reaching those who are struggling with life's challenges and need hope for tomorrow. You can make your tax-deductible donation in a matter of minutes by visiting our website, largocc.org. Click on the Healing Word and follow the Donations tab to complete your support of this vital ministry. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at this same time for another edition of the Healing Word. Until tomorrow, blessings on you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.